the 19 at 5:07. Our primary discussion point is the 2020 budget. Present are myself, Mary Westfall, and other council members, Katie Capellini, Mark Fry, Doug Hanem, Sandy Hussman, Mark Lukin, Patrick Richardson. Joining us from administration, Mr. Schroyer, Mr. Aller, Mrs. Booker, Mrs. Brining, and Mayor Stow. And we do have two guests here. We've had, as you know, a few discussions about the budget, and what our primary focus had been, the primary thought process had been to be focused on giving any direction necessary to administration regarding our thoughts for the 2020 budget. Of course, we all acknowledge that city administration's done an exceptional job of maintaining expenses, identifying new revenue streams, and administration was very gracious in being willing to walk with us through this process. We do have a few things that we had identified, and I know that there are a couple critical pieces that we need to bring to our attention as we're talking about the new gas tax and the license plate information. I'd like to have a quick discussion about that. I'd ask for administration to kind of bring us all up to speed on that, because that will impact revenue coming into the city in perhaps one of the more significant ways that we have identified in our current process. So I don't know if you could handle that, Mr. Mayor, or if we'd like.
I believe I can. We've been informed that the estimated gas tax the city can expect to receive for the first full year, which will be next year. The gas tax takes effect, I believe, June 1st or July 1st of this year, so this will be a half a year, is approximately $399,750 for the official delineation. And I figured out that the reason that the proportions does not work from the previous estimate of $465,000 for a 18% gas tax increase is because they increased the diesel tax for large trucks at a much higher rate. So that would account for some of the difference. If a straight proportion would have put the other one at about $310,000 or so. The state legislation also provided for the cities and townships the possibility of adding a $5 permissive fee on top of the license plate fee. That would, at $5 a car, it's estimated that that would bring us in about another $87,000 annually. Again, this year, that tax would not start until January 1st of next year, I believe. But that would bring the total of those two up to just under $500,000, dollars that would go directly into the street budgets to be used for street improvements, which has been the subject of the capital improvements debates that we've had. So no action is required on the gasoline tax, but we will be bringing you an ordinance at our next meeting to approve this permissive tax. I believe we only have until June 1st to approve that. And I strongly recommend that you do it. We all buy license plates for our cars. I know I just bought mine recently, and I think it's about $52 or somewhere in that neighborhood, much cheaper than in Michigan or Indiana.
Mr. Mayor, I've not encountered this before, I don't think, here. Could you or Mr. Aller talk about how that's collected? Is it collected as part of your total license fee?
Yes. When you go to buy your stickers or new license plates, that is part of the fee that you'll be quoted. Whether you buy it from the state of Ohio through the mail or at the local deputy registrar, it will be added to the fee. And that has been a point of contention for decades, making sure that the deputy registrars actually identify what political subdivision you're in.
So that actually varies by jurisdiction, is that right?
That's
correct. Would impose that here, and it
well, who gets it? It varies. Yeah. Right now, it's consistent across the area, but there used to be, and there still is, work done to decide whether you're in the city of Sylvania and the money comes to the city of Sylvania, or you're in Sylvania Township and it goes to them. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're all aware of the name Gay Gindy, who used to work at the township. She was hired as a consultant by the city at one time to correct the local deputy registrars to get the street addresses straightened out between the city and the township. So we got our due, and it increased our take by quite a bit. And then, of course, the township turned around and ran their own one and reduced it a little bit. But now they're more accurate than they ever were before, and hopefully, the state of Ohio's computer files are such that they're very accurate. I know whenever I go, and of course, I don't live at the edge of the city particularly, but there's never any question that I'm in the city of Toledo. And once it's straightened, or city of Sedano, and once it's straightened out on your records, it doesn't change year to year.
Okay, got it, thank you.
So no, we won't be collecting it with our personnel.
So could I ask a broader question about these dollars going right to our streets fund? I think Mr. Aller told us last time that $2.5 million is a reasonable amount for a city this size to be budgeting for streets, okay? So he said that before the gas tax was approved. Now we have $500,000 coming our way. Should we be able to think about the fact that that $500,000 will be part of the 2.5?
Absolutely.
And so we have the discretion of either reducing then our budget by $500,000 or allocating it elsewhere. Is that the way to think about it?
No.
We
don't have the money.
Right. Well, if you put this money goes directly to street budgets. But that means that you could spend those capital improvement dollars on other projects. And the city budget allows for about $1 million per year of capital improvements, most of which goes to streets, but not all. And so it narrows the gap between the need and the funding that's available. Mm-hmm. Toby, that might have been too simplistic of an explanation.
If the need is 2.5 million instead of having a million available, now we have 1.5 million available with the gas tax.
Yeah.
So you're still looking at that $1 million difference between the two.
However, remember that we do have an approximate $10 million balance in our capital improvements fund. We have an additional $4 million balance that varies, but we try to keep it at about $4 million in the operating budget. And our capital improvement needs vary year to year. But if you were to take and let the capital improvement budget or balance go down $1 million a year, obviously you've got 10 years until you're down to zero. I wouldn't go much below $5 million. I used to say $10 million. But I think I would aim to maybe allow it go down $500,000 or something a year, and we'll see what happens to our income tax receipts and other projects that come along. That money is, in effect, our savings account, but that's probably more than we need to have.
Yeah. Would you be able to remind me, I know we've talked about this before, but what kind of demand will be on those dollars if we decide that we can't come in with agreement on water with the city of Toledo and we decide to go with a loan?
Dollars for water improvements, whether it's building our own system or building a pipeline, would be a separate fund. That would be out of the water fund, and any bonds sold would be out of the water fund, which is a separate kind of account. It's not general fund dollars at all. It's an enterprise fund that's repaid by water bills. That's the way we finance the new water tower, for instance, and does not affect this general fund or capital improvement.
So most of that work then would be done out of borrowing, is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
We have built up a limited amount of reserves for planning purposes or so we can respond in the water fund with previous water rate increases. Not enough to build water plants or water pipelines. But I don't know. There's $1 million or something in there to help right now.
Yeah, we're probably upwards of
more than
about
that.
Three. Yeah, probably about three.
Not enough to make water improvements, but enough to be able to respond and plan and take action prior to selling bonds.
Okay.
But that's a separate issue.
So I just wanted to make sure that we had clarification on that as we start the discussion today. I don't think this necessarily has to be a long meeting. I think there's some more work among committees potentially. The one thing that I would remind everyone is that we focused the last time on the fact that the gap that we really are trying to fill is that for the capital improvements. And we did have a streets committee. And I don't know that there was any actual decisions or action that came out of that committee.
There was not. There was no decision.
So one of the things I did today is I brought along the list that we put together, and I thought if we could take a look through the list and identify any of the core pieces that we think need additional discussion and get those put into the appropriate committee for further review and discussion so that we can have it bubble back up here. And then in those committees, I think any assistance that we need from administration or recommendation from administrations would be important. So I would just suggest that we kind of do a quick run down the list here, and if there's something that you feel strongly needs further discussion at the committee level, to please let me know that, and we'll then assign it to a committee for further review. Okay. I'm going to...
What are we doing exactly?
We're going to... This was the list of information that we came up with at... Oh, you weren't... Were you at that meeting, John?
No, I have to listen to that meeting. You mean okay. These are the additional...
These were the areas that the... council members and administration talked about for possible consideration and further discussion, some of which could have some action or further discussion, but money of which...
Additional revenue sources?
Some are expenses, some are revenue, and I think the others we didn't think necessarily fit into any category. But I do think there's some that may come off the list at this point. For example, I think we've had some remote discussion, limited discussion on increasing the tax rate, but I haven't heard support for that. I don't know if some member of council would like to see further dialogue on that. If they would, I'd like to hear that at this time. But I really do think right now we're just trying to determine if there's further discussion needed on any of these points that were highlighted and if there's anything else that should come forward. But a lot of these things I think we've already made decisions on. So I'm just trying to make sure we check them off the list.
So I have a comment. The parks, it wasn't really selling.
It was not. I've circled that one here. It was more about your discussion about the parks and your ideas.
Right, about maybe having the own in a park system or getting it. I mean, and really, before we had that discussion, McNally Park, okay, the trout lily is blooming right now. And in the next week or two, the trillium are blooming. And I really, I mean, if, I don't know if there's interest, you can... me like no way, or I'd love to go on a walking tour of McNally Park with a naturalist and point out the native plants and the flowers and the stuff there so you can like have a true appreciation of what's there. You can tell me I'm crazy or I can arrange that out.
Well, one of the things, Katie, I think this is exactly what I was hoping would happen, is that you would like further discussion about parks and you've got ideas about that. So I think you need to schedule a parks committee. Have that conversation with the members of the Parks Committee and come back with a recommendation.
There's not a lot of time, so what I was thinking about doing is sending out, like, scheduling somebody from the Nature Conservancy and one of our local people to do a tour and then just email everybody around, like, by the time we schedule a meeting and then we try to get all this done. We'll have missed the trillion, which is the important thing. So maybe I will just send an email to everybody with some possible.
And again, I think that to keep in mind that's very appropriate and it's really a Parks Committee discussion, but you will want everyone to have that opportunity to view it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's
so
great.
So that's the start of the conversation, and after we do that, and then we will, I think, walk around Haroon Park after that and do some comparisons, and then I'll schedule a Parks and Forestry meeting. And by that time, the community survey for Sage Art is supposed to be complete by the end of this month. So there may be some things to talk about there. So I'm not...
to go to the parks, but correct. You have to transfer the parks to another organization.
Ignore the parks, but I think there's more to
come with that. So I think that's fine, and I think, again, that comes under parks. And the other thing that the mayor was just reminding me of is the other discussion that you brought to the table, Katie, was that the concept of transferring park maintenance to
right.
someone else.
Exactly.
So, again, that all needs to be discussed at the parks right. committee level. So if you would lead on that, that would be great.
Right. So that's what I just said, that by the end of this month, this, the whole Sage Art thing will be completed. More to come. I'll just say more to come.
Again, I don't think we have the working knowledge that you have. I think you've got to educate your committee and help then
and
come forward with a recommendation.
A little bit of education
okay.
before the discussion.
Yep. Okay, very good.
Mayor, I have a few thoughts,
yeah.
if I may. I guess the one thing that I hope we don't do is address, make any radical changes to any of the bullets listed under the expense header.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me that considering adjustment in the size of our staff or funding community programs is not a productive exercise. I think we have a certain staffing level that works for us. The administration has done an excellent job of cutting, trimming staff where it can be done. I think we have a commitment to some of our community partners that quite honestly separates us from the township in terms of quality of life. So I would hope that we stay away from that. On the other hand, there are three things that have been discussed that I would consider to be perhaps not implementable in 2020, but maybe eventually, and that is to provide some extra dollars for doing some of the major capital programs that likely will be facing us. And as we talk about that, I think about the paving of the entire Lincoln Woods neighborhood, right? Big project, very expensive, take a long time if we do it piecemeal, right? So not that I advocate these things, but I think that could benefit from some further discussion would be the concept of street assessments neighborhood by neighborhood. We talked very briefly about the fact that perhaps that neighborhood could take on an assessment. It would require some work. We've not really traditionally gone that way, but it's a way to create the dollars, the big dollars, for us to be able to take on that project. The second is not increasing the tax rate, but the notion of looking at an approach that's been taken by an increasing number of municipalities, and that is a limited term special use increase in the payroll tax. So 0.25%, I don't know how much that would get us over the course of 3 years. I don't know how much that would get us. Hello. What did he say?
1.8 million a year if you raise the rate to 1.75.
Okay, so I thought that was the voice from God for a minute.
He thinks
he is, yeah.
That's the same number from our
March
2015.
Okay, and so how would that work? Do we have an appetite for it? What are the upsides? What are the downsides for a temporary tax for streets and infrastructure, perhaps? The third piece that I think we mentioned just very briefly, but I believe now a week after our SOMO project has started, the apartments, is that that downtown parking will become increasingly a problem. And as we add more establishments and our existing establishments become more successful, the biggest reason for people not to come someplace is there's no place to park. And so the notion of revisiting a parking ramp, perhaps in the downtown area, is something that I think merits attention. And I would encourage us, as we think about that, to think about potential partnering with the Port Authority. I talked about this before, that they certainly had the ability to make help to contribute substantially to the apartments. They do parking, not our Port Authority, but Port Authorities do parking structures all the time around Ohio. And so I guess those three things bundle up to sort of a more long-term strategic look at infrastructure. I don't know what committee that goes to, but I would hope that we could look at that in the short term so that we're not sitting here wondering about it a year from now.
I think that you've made some good observations. That's exactly what I had been hoping for, Mark, because we would see the priorities bubble up, because
right. They're
not, everything isn't a priority. I think you make an interesting comment that their infrastructure, there's certainly not things that are going to be resolved at this in the next 6 weeks. But I do think that at some level, some of them become recommendations from administration. I think the street assessments would be an interesting thing. I didn't become a big discussion apparently at the streets committee meeting. But I think that some of those things should, maybe be conversations among the committees and administration with a recommendation coming forward. And I think that's something we should be looking to streets to kind of help lead. And as we talk about the downtown parking, I think that I don't know too much about that Port Authority option. I think you did bring that up.
Well, I think I don't either. And I think we should have somebody from the Port Authority come over and talk to us.
And I think, again, my hope would be that we would try to not pretend we all have to make every decision, but maybe that falls under a committee for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm thinking safety, but I don't know that that's exactly correct. But for further discussion and, again, input from administration at every level.
We can do that consideration along with my idea to reduce parking requirements and to eliminate downtown parking. I have exactly the opposite view.
Let me finish.
Exactly opposite view of our long-term parking needs in the downtown area. And I think we will fill the space available and people will find ways to get here if we don't have parking spots. And they are, and that's happening all over the country. It'll happen here. But we should have that discussion.
Yeah.
And you know, when you I've been doing some additional research on this and what communities are doing around the country, and rather than creating more, taking up more valuable space in a downtown area with parking garages and parking spaces, they're doing exactly the opposite, which is eliminating parking garages and parking spaces to make room for people.
Mm-hmm. And I don't dispute, Doug, your concept that at some point that'll be the case, right? I think maybe we can have a good, healthy discussion about the timing of that. My fear is that if it's going to take longer than 10 years, which I think you believe it's not, right, it becomes a competitive disadvantage for us.
Well, I think there is interest in further discussion on parking. I had thought safety, but listening to you, Doug, I'm thinking maybe you should take that on as a zoning discussion.
Well, unfortunately, I did want to introduce that as a zoning discussion at our last zoning and annexation meeting, but we got tied up in other things.
So I think we can kind of look to you for some leadership in terms of that conversation. And that seems to be in keeping with some of your other thoughts. And Mark?
Yeah, you know, if we get to the point, and I acknowledge that we need to have some conversation, if we get to the point where we decide that there'll be a 20-year demand for more parking here, and going up instead of going out is a better way to do it. We do have a Port Authority resource right here in Sylvania. Jerry Archibauer, who is now the chairman of the CIC, is a for-hire Port Authority executive. He is the chief executive officer, for example, of the Hancock County Port Authority. So he could potentially give us a more accurate assessment without sort of the spin that we would get from the Lucas County Port Authority.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'd urge you all I provide you with a link to a website about does your city still have minimum parking requirements, which has in it a lot of links to what cities are doing, not 10 years from now, but have been doing over the last 5 years to reduce that. And I think it's worth encourage us all to check that out. But
one thing that is happening in the downtown is Somo Flats is building over 200 parking spaces underground and another 50 or so above ground to take care of their tenants. I don't think they're going to drive to anything downtown.
No,
they're going to park there.
I haven't even thought about those people. I mean, they will take care of themselves, right? But I'm talking about our visitors every night for the rest of our lives.
So
our lives are his lives.
Big difference,
right?
So the other thing you made an interesting comment on, Mark, was that you'd like to pull everything off of the expenses area. I totally support your comment.
I'm sorry, pull it off what?
That you feel like we shouldn't have further discussion on things that fall under expenses.
Right.
I totally support that we have an administration that is leading very well and reducing as they can, and we have to trust their judgment and recognize that we've already had significant reductions with a natural transition of employees. I do think the funding of community programs, we heard very loud from you that you support that. I support support that as well, but I don't know where other council members are on that. So I would just say to council members, if you feel that there needs to be further discussion on the community programming, you should voice that so we can have that further discussion. And I think that the we talked about here in a possibly a fixed annual cost for street repairs. I think that falls in the streets committee as you're talking about the street assessments. So I think that kind of all falls together in that space.
You brought that up, and I didn't hear any support
for that
idea. I brought that up, not saying it's something I support, or just I was looking up options for other cities and done. And it was an option. I didn't hear any support for it.
So we maybe don't need to worry about that.
I would think so, unless somebody about the streets.
And they can let you know. Okay. I'm going to step down to the section that says other then. We've got Heritage Sylvania, and I know that there's been a lot of discussion, and Sandy Hessman has shared with me that she'd like to have an opportunity to have a discussion. I think you wanted it in a committee of the whole. Discussion on Heritage Sylvania. Maybe you can talk to the group about that a little bit.
Yes, I can talk a little bit about that. I think the best way for us to do that probably would to have our executive director, our president, and our treasurer, and myself come and give a presentation about what we see as what we can do now and what we can do in the future, and gather ideas from council as to what their suggestions. I know I've heard a couple already, and we're researching some of that. What I am trying to do is schedule a pre-meeting with the four people I mentioned, but with a couple of vacations and things coming up, that's not going to happen till the end of May. So I'm hoping that we might be able to schedule something for going forward for a presentation at the June, I forget what the date is, the first June meeting, June 3rd meeting. I would hope that we would have our information together that we could at that point schedule.
And I don't think there's any rush on that for you to put the team under pressure. I think it would be the second meeting in June or even the meeting in July.
Okay.
I think that to make sure there's enough time. But I do feel like there has been questions that you felt needed to be addressed among all council members.
Yes.
So maybe a meeting before a council meeting that allows for a focus on Heritage Sylvania.
Yes.
I don't know where all council members sit in terms of that. But I know there are some council members who
What's the proposition? Just continued funding of
to continue the funding. That's the discussion. Yes. Sorry, but we weren't clear about that. To continue the $160,000 going forward,
or some level of funding.
Or some level.
Yes. Right.
And I think that is the primary reason that there was a need. And I see that essentially, although I think you've requested a committee of the whole on that. And I'll open it, but you would really leave that meeting. And it would be a single topic discussion.
Yes.
Fair?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Okay. So does that make sense to everybody? All right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We talked about the parking downtown, where we've had conversations about the capital projects. I don't know what interest there really is in these next big topics that you brought to the table, Mark Fry. Consolidated dispatch countywide effort, joint police, between sit and that might already be in progress, actually.
Which one? County dispatch?
Consolidated dispatching is being pushed by the county. They're trying to schedule a meeting of all the mayors next week to discuss it, because they're not finding a lot of savings for the cities. It's very much under discussion. We'll bring you the facts as we can.
Mayor, I was in a meeting just before I came over here. There seems to be a pullback a little bit from the county because they have found that the data is potentially incorrect. Apparently, some of the police agencies count police-initiated engagements as a call. So if they stop a car for a violation, that's listed in their data as a call. So it's disproportionately weighted in certain directions. So I think they're going to maybe slow walk that for a bit.
Another issue you need to be aware of, that the city still needs a 24-hour phone call for people, phone number for people calling on other issues that aren't necessarily police issues. Mm-hmm. And we would probably still have to staff
somebody like a dispatcher for the city 24/7. And that really cuts into their projected savings, which seemed a little generous to begin.
I will simply note that as part of the One Sylvania effort, or in advance of the One Sylvania effort, the University of Toledo Urban Affairs Department did a study about benefits of a potential merger. One of the things that they did not see as a benefit was any savings from a combination of the city and township police forces. We get, you know, it is what it is. That study was done in 2012
years ago.
Yeah, 12 years ago. So a long time ago. But it's worth looking at. I mean, that was a systematic review of that. And so I'm not surprised about the dispatch consolidation, too. The point is, you still have to. The idea that we have a lot of people sitting around on their hands not doing anything just isn't the case, so that if we merge, we still have to do the same things and we don't lose people. That was the basic conclusion that the University of Toledo Urban Affairs folks came up with, and I don't know that there's any reason to think that's different. But it's not that it's not worth looking at, but
there's no efficiencies that were identified at.
Right, and that was, and that was a very, if you recall, that was a substantial undertaking, and had a lot of input from a lot of people, both the township and the city, as well as you know, a strong academic participation in real life. People who have done real life studies shouldn't lose sight of that.
Mr. Hanum, I think that's a great point. The reason that I raised the issue, which may or may not have any legs, because ultimately, whether there's savings or not, in order to have the potential to combine departments, you have to have two willing parties.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start from that position, and if that position isn't available, then all the rest of it is much ado about nothing. My thought process was more broadly based to look at this and include the because right now, as I understand it, the township has a police levy that city residents don't pay, but to consider the possibility to look more broadly at a what I would characterize to be a safety levy, which would include police, fire, and courts on a combined basis for the township and the city on a collective basis, that would go before the voters. And that may, again, not have any possibility or rationality of opportunity between the two parties, and maybe the voters wouldn't be in support of it anyways. But that was the concept that I had generally come up with. But like I say, that was a 30,000 foot question of should we consider it.
Mark, I think the piece of data that you shared with us that suggests maybe that there's not a parity of contribution in our greater Sylvania area to funding these things is the number of calls our officers cover in the township versus the number of calls they cover in the city. And I think you said it was a substantially greater proportion where we're providing service to the township. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, there's a mutual aid. In my conversations with former Chief Rodas and Chief Schnorr and Mr. Aller, they're tracking that, but anecdotally they indicated to me that it seemed like there were many more calls from the township to the city than in reverse, but nonetheless they didn't have any particular data that they could point to and say it's
okay.
50 calls a week on one way and 10 calls a week the other way kind of thing. There was nothing that they could hang their hat on specifically at that time, although since then it's been a couple of months, so maybe there's data starting to be pulled, Mr. Aller, but if there is, I'm unfamiliar with it.
We're taking a look at those mutual aid calls. We're taking, it came up as part of the dispatch talks that are going on. So we're taking a look at being able to collect some of that data that we haven't collected in the past. We're logging some things differently, if you will, so that we can pull that data more easily. Where in the past, as part of the dispatching discussions, we've had to go back through thousands of calls and be able to pull that data, and we've changed that, so we won't have to do that in the future. So.
That's certainly helpful. That will be helpful information, but in the end, it's wholly appropriate for us to assist our neighbors in any way possible and reasonable circumstances as they do for us. But it would be nice to understand the relationship to have a better feel for that going forward, if at all possible. So I understand your thought process, Mr. Hahnemann, and don't doubt that the study done 12 years or so ago was accurate and may in fact still be accurate, but it was a little larger conceptually in my case.
Right, and I would love to share our court costs.
That was one of the potential considerations. And as I say, the township may be like, what are you nuts? But nonetheless, I think it would have potential to at least be favorably addressed by the voters.
So what I would say is that these are very big issues and that they will have to probably be a little bit more organically generated. However, certainly further discussion at the safety committee is possible, and Mr. Fry, you're welcome to have a safety committee to kind of touch base on those things and see, you know, talk with administration about what they understand is going on in the area, and then if there's anything more to bring it to further discussion here is what I think would be the most efficient thing. There may not be. Those
yeah.
are pretty big issues. They
well, absolutely. And in fairness to administration with all the balls that they have in the air, I think the first thing to do is to determine the outcome of countywide dispatch. Once that's determined, decisions are made on that, then maybe we proceed forward with those other items and maybe not, but let's let that play out before we make any decisions beyond that or conversations beyond
that. And I don't think that any of these things are things that are going to happen tomorrow.
No, absolutely not.
But, you know, you've kind of presented them, you put them on the table, so
sure.
We'll look to you to continue to kind of advance those.
Happy
things.
To do that.
So I do feel like we've got a little bit of direction here. I don't think we've touched
before
this.
We go,
yeah.
On the revenue side, I know we still have on this list a decrease of credit for taxes to other cities.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any support for that on council?
You know, I was going to refer Mark's suggestion on limited term special use 0.25%, 1.8, that 1.8 million, and that decreased credit for taxes to other cities to finance. That's a good question, though. I don't know if there's anybody here on council that has a real strong opinion about it, but I'd like to hear
that. Oh, we have strong opinions. Very strong opinions on it. And you know, it's the most punitive thing we can do to our neighbors. And it's a direct tax increase to our neighbors. If you increase your tax rate, we don't we're going to collect the vast majority of that money from people outside the city. That doesn't mean I support that, but I don't have the knee-jerk gut-grabbing reaction that I do when we talk about decreasing that credit. I just can't imagine that. I can't imagine we would remain, any of us would remain in office doing that, or should remain in office.
Crossford made an attempt at that.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I want to draw a line through that and put it away and have an agreement that that's not something we're going to do.
I don't hear anybody challenging you on that. So again, I think it'll bubble back up eventually at some point in time, but I think for now, I'm trying to just kind of get our, work our way through the list. What I would share with you is just a quick overview of kind of some of the things I heard today, and I'm not sure I've got them all. As I sit down, I'm sure I'll get them all. Certainly, Katie's going to put together some information on parks, talk about the neighborhood parks, the maintenance fees associated with them. Doug, from a zoning standpoint, you're going to talk a little bit about parking, but also you can see in here the annexations fall in here. Further discussion on annexations is another element there. An increase on zoning fees was another one, so I think that all falls under zoning.
Yep.
I think from a streets perspective, we've got a discussion to be had with streets about assessments going forward, and there's probably a recommendation we'd be looking for from administration on street assessments and what that looks like.
And the additional funding as well. Let's talk about that in the streets committee.
Yes, yes.
The gas tax money, the license fee money.
Mm-hmm. Although that's already kind of a done deal. It's going to happen, although we are going to have
sure.
the vote on it. But yes, but that, where
what
that goes.
Do,
but that, yes.
What we do with money. Yeah, I think that's
good. And then the special use tax that Mr. Lupke brought up, you could discuss how that could fit. That's a definite option that we should consider. I'm not ready to recommend it, but
well, you know, if the administration has any case studies around that from any of your state associations, it would be helpful to see that, which communities are doing it. I somehow think Dayton has done something like this. Mayor Kapsakiewicz seems to be talking about that in Toledo.
Don't we have one in Toledo already?
I don't think so.
A 3/4%.
Oh, yeah, well,
we
right.
We have a 3/4% permanent temporary tax.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
used for capital anymore.
No, I think it's been around for so long that people just don't even worry when it comes back at them, right? It's about as
well. When we start talking about special use taxes,
yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Toledo tax.
Yeah.
3/4%.
It's permanent.
So, carrying on.
Yeah. Okay. The one I thought maybe we were going to come to this, but this notion of body camera storage costs and expenses, I kind of thought that we sent that back to the administration for some number crunching. Is that right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And Chief Rodas was not willing to do it, and it turned out his wisdom was pretty good not to do it earlier, because I think it's Toledo, they sent all their body cameras back or something. The body camera issue, the cameras are not that expensive, it's the storage, that's what
right.
you're talking
where
about.
Are we gonna look for some
and we want it to be automatically downloading, and the technology is getting there, and I'm sure our new chief, Snor, is going to come back to us with a recommendation to get that done.
Okay, so that
year.
Doesn't need to be a council
I don't
concern.
Think so. We'll be bringing it back to you as part of the budget.
I can't sure. believe we're the only ones. Is there a, do we need a public records legislative fix on this?
Yes, we've looked at that.
Yeah, that is one of the issues, Mr. Hanum, because of the redaction requirements for any request that is made, that kind of, we've kind of included that as part of the storage costs and expenses, also having somebody to do all of the redaction.
A police officer going into a home and seeing, filming things that shouldn't be released publicly is a real
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, but the other thing is, retaining those records forever is, which is the general public records requirement, it seems to me to be archaic and not very informed. And maybe we ought to, I don't know if the municipal league's doing anything on that. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of the Ohio Municipal League, but maybe this is something that they could actually help us with. I gotta believe other cities are having the same problem. It's to the point where a really good tool, you know, if we could retain those records for 6 months unless there's a specific request or a specific reason to retain those, shorten that time, then we crunch down dramatically the electronic space. And I'm sure that technology will change. But right now, it creates a barrier, certainly for us to an extent to use what would otherwise be a valuable tool in the event of a specific, you know, a specific incident, and you needed an answer right away. So maybe get to, you know, our friends in Columbus who aren't always our friends to help us with this one.
At least they don't hate us as much as we do.
We're not, we're not friendlier.
Good question, Mr. Lupke, and I think you can hear administration is not lost on that, Mr. Fanning.
Good, that's a good answer.
So the other discussion that we had was Committee of the Whole, that we're going to talk about the Heritage Savannah. You'll tell us what meeting you'd like to have that at. It's, I don't think there's any urgency for that. See what, when your group is ready, and we'll schedule something before a city council meeting. Mm-hmm. And then from a finance perspective, we'll engage in a conversation around that limited term special use as well, although certainly could be discussed at streets. And any of the other things that are critical. The court costs on here, we did have the judge come in and talk about that. I feel like we are again in a position where that's something that has to kind of evolve a little bit more organically. I don't think there's anything we could talk about at all we want, but I don't think there's anything we can do to affect immediate change on that. And need for new land development, I think again that's something that will happen a little more organically. First we have to find the land, we have to find those opportunities, but I think so I'm not sure that that goes directly to a committee at this point. Is there anything else that isn't mentioned here or that I've neglected to touch point on that needs to be referred to a committee for additional discussion?
The new land development, I know we've had, we had some discussions somewhere about our service garage.
Mm-hmm, it did.
And I think that's worth continuing to pursue. I don't know if that's new land development or not, but you know, I could see where our service garage is one of our potentially most scenic locations in the city, and seeing what's happening at SOMO, if that works, you know, that would be a very interesting location for additional residential.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Doug. And in many ways, it could be one of the most friction-free things we could do. We own that property.
Right.
We own property to put this, the garage someplace else. It could be a fairly quick exercise to get developable land.
Well, I think that was one of the things we talked about. What are the costs?
The cost is to replicate that maintenance garage at another location,
right.
Whereas everything could be demolished and not without much loss at SOMO. 5.5 acres, we sold it for $1.2 million. Replacing that building is a several million dollar venture right there, and it's less than a 5.5 acre site.
So it's, there's no offset, you're saying?
Well, if developers are willing to pay that amount of money for the property, we're selling. We also looked at the possibility of vacating River Crossings Drive in front of it to make the site bigger, and then turning the rest of River Crossings Drive into a cul-de-sac.
Yes.
We have taken a look at those, and we'll continue to look at it, but we've got to convince a buyer. And on a $35 million project like SOMO Flats, the $1.2 million land cost was a pretty small cost. Maybe we'd need $4 million for the service building site. Is that workable? That, you know, is 10% of the project cost, let's say, workable in a pro forma budget for houses or commercial? It might be.
Mm-hmm.
If Sylvania becomes that valuable, it certainly is.
But we're not marketing it, right? So it's highly unlikely that we'll
get... No, but we're discussing it. I discussed that site with Rick Arnos at the groundbreaking. I discussed the funeral home property. He wanted to talk about that one. I talked about the apartment building that pushes out towards the North Branch and towards Toledo Memorial Park.
Mm-hmm.
On the east side of Summit Street is another possibility. We need to keep offering sites like that, that the city will help support it. The city won't necessarily have the time or the ability to buy those sites and assemble them, but we can support them in going out and getting them. And I made the Reeves aware of that conversation. I saw her the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And And she smiled and said, yeah, everything's for sale, just like I said.
So good discussion, but again, I think that that's not something that we've got a natural committee to put it to. I think administration's always looking at those things, and as council members, certainly as you identify suggestions and ideas, I know you're forwarding them to administration. So I feel like that's something that's ongoing. So with that, is there anything else critical that people would like to have referred to a committee for further dialogue or consideration? I would say the most critical thing, as we discussed at our first meeting, is the discussion around the gap for the capital improvements. I don't know if administration wants to speak to any of things that we've discussed today or anything in terms of the capital improvement budget going forward, or thoughts there for it. Not required, of course.
This is not new, but I'm going to bring it up again. The reason I wanted City Council to get into the capital improvements funding issue was because of the large ticket or large dollar value that would have to be spent at Lincoln Woods. And if the city's going to start with phase one of that, which would be Fredericksburg, and the rest of it spread out over several years, but that's an aggregate of $4 or $5 million that once you do phase one and pay for all of it, that politically puts you on the hook for the rest of it. And we can't afford to do that with current funding. I know you have all taken a look. I rode it with my bicycle last night on South Fredericksburg. There are repairs that need to be made in there, but the roads are not that bad. I suggest you take a look at it. I am not getting complaints. We broke a snowplow frame there last winter, not this previous winter, but a year ago. There's a catch basin on the south side that's probably the worst part of paving. It hasn't been repaired yet. That catch basin and the paving adjacent to it could be replaced. A few other squares could be replaced. You go up on Williamsburg, there's a lot of cracks in there. These roads are deteriorating, but this is a case where if you can live with it for 5 or 10 more years, it doesn't cost any more to replace it in the future than it costs now. Unlike the other issues with asphalt paving, that the longer you let it go, the more expensive it becomes. So I think that's the point of discussion. Are we willing to weather South Fredericksburg and Lincoln Woods or not? Or find another way to do it.
Well, I think when we addressed this, we had a previous meeting about the streets.
We sure did.
I know I made a point to go out there and drive it. And I didn't do it on my bike, which would be a different experience, I'm sure.
I can see a lot more cracks on my bike.
Yeah, you can. And you can feel them, too. I didn't feel like it was an emergency situation. It wasn't maybe ideal, but the other thing I wondered about is whether, you know, I kind of drove through it and thought, you know, maybe the world will change and it'll be a different way to deal with these.
That's exactly right.
You know, I don't know, you know, can you pummel those streets into essentially gravel and then pave over them? I don't know. I mean, those are crazy things that I'm sure we're not doing, but, you know.
Let's try it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the part of the issue is, you know, what the subgrade is, and I know we have problems on those. There are problems on those. But we're going to have, you know, there might be different ways to address those. And, you know, we would have, when I came on council, we didn't have the surfacing techniques that we're now doing all over the city. We didn't have that. I mean, it wasn't available to us. So it's not inconceivable to me that we could see a technology change that would maybe help us address that in the future. So with that suggests is if we can rationally put it off without punishing our neighbors for the delay, and I think we can, then I think there's benefit in putting it off.
These roads are not full of potholes. There's cracks and offset joints.
Right.
I think we can live with it a while longer. It isn't like you're hitting potholes and breaking axles and having flat tires. We're not causing that kind of a problem.
So, thank you for that input, for that information. Toby, just a gentle question here. Can you give me a heads up on timing for budget? We usually see it the beginning of November, it seems to me, late October?
We'll have a budget meeting. We wait till we get 9 months of information in, so probably sometime in October will be the first time we're meeting on it.
And when you say that first time we're meeting, you mean administration? Or do you mean that the first time that city council will see something?
You guys will see something in October, yeah.
Okay. And if there was anything that was to bubble up out of the conversations at the committee meetings, when would you need to have that thought process? I don't think there's anything critically urgent that's going to bubble up, but just for the group's benefit.
I mean, it's not an issue of time. It would just be if you want to take 3 readings and pass it before the end of the year, then you're talking about November.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think the work is cut out for the committees. I think some of the things have more of a sense of urgency than others, but most of the things that are on the discussion are things that are longer-term projects, looking at longer-term solutions to what's happening. So unless there's anything else to come before this committee of the whole, I would ask if there's a motion to adjourn.
Mary, just one other thing we haven't discussed, for everyone's information, the bond information. We have 13 years left. We pay nearly just under $2 million a year on those bonds. They almost all expire at the same time because of the refunding. So that's just another thing to consider, we could possibly issue bonds between now and the end of 13 years, but as of right now, in 13 years, there'll be $2 million available.
Thank you for that reminder. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn this committee of the whole meeting at 6:04. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries and we stand adjourned. Thank you very much, and I will look forward to your feedback from your committee then.